Hi, I'm Tina.
And I'm Taylor.
And this is Immigrants in America.
Thanks for joining us. We look forward to sharing the next inspirational story with you.
Our next guests are a married couple who are very special to me and so many others.
Emily and Elliot Benincasa met and married in Minneapolis, but they were born and raised only minutes apart in small towns in the region of Calabria, Italy.
Elliot is the brother of my grandfather, and it was both touching and inspiring to hear how and why they came to America.
They currently own and operate Emily's F&M Cafe, located on the corner of 44th and Oliver, in the Victory neighborhood of North Minneapolis.
It was such a joy to chat with my uncle and aunt about their journey to America.
Now let's continue to the story of how they dated, married, and became restaurateurs. Not only did they make amazing food and the best pancakes in the area, but who knew about Emily's hidden glove-making talents?
What a hard-working couple, and a wonderful couple. Sadly, we did not get them to reveal their secret pancake recipe.
Do you have an inspiring story to share with us, or know someone who would make an inspirational guest? Email us at tinaandtaylorpodcast@gmail.com, or head to our webpage at tinaandtaylor.weebly.com.
Network with us. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Follow us, like us, and share us with your family and friends. Thanks!
Where were you guys born?
I was born in Settignano, Italy.
And I was born in Nicastro, Italy, which is now the La Meta Terme, the big airport, and an ocean front.
How far apart are those two cities?
Let's say about 12 kilometers.
Okay, so that's fairly close. Did you know each other?
10 minutes. Is that what you said?
Yeah, 10 minutes.
Did you know each other in Italy, or did you just meet in the United States?
I'm older than her.
So if you're older than someone, you can't know them.
Well, not it would over be there. A over there. I could have
concerning
but
thing.
Different towns, different.
Got
cities.
It.
I met him where I was working. He came to see me.
Oh.
Merwin
Drug and Robbinsdale.
No.
Where was it?
West Broadway.
Also Minneapolis, the North Minneapolis area.
North Minneapolis, yeah.
Wow. So you both were born in Italy, and at what ages did you come to the United States?
I came in at 16.
16 years old.
I was 16 years old.
What was the year?
1956.
Wow. How about you?
Me, I came here in 1947.
Okay.
I was 10 years old.
That's very young to have that journey.
It was a beautiful journey.
What do you remember about the village you left?
I left behind a lot of people. It was soon after World War II. It was a lot of devastation at the time. But I did the three classes of school, elementary. And I've also was confirmed. And First Communion all at the same time because we were to come to this country.
So they kind of rushed it for you because they knew you were going
to
be leaving?
They got a bishop to do both me and my sister at the same time.
Huh. And what do you remember about Settignano in your childhood?
I was the baby of the family. So I was kind of spoiled. But that's okay. We still had to work.
That's right.
No matter what. And
what did you do for fun?
Work.
That was fun. You know, I get that for my daughter too, but she doesn't realize that that's...
My dad used to be a butcher, and he would butcher the pigs, and then we would invite the whole family, and it was a holiday for us.
So if your dad was a butcher in a small town that was, you know, had some hardships, did that mean he was considered affluent compared to the other people without... access to
Right. Well, we had farms, we had wines, he used to make wines, we had everything. We did not starve for food.
But still you all left.
For better, for America.
And how old, you said you were 16 when you
16.
Came?
16. My mother taught me how to cook. We embroidered in schools, and we didn't go running around like the kids do today.
In other words, she never dated when she was a teenager.
No.
Elliot wants to be very clear. She was not allowed to date.
She had no one before
that's
me.
That's what she means.
That's right.
Yeah.
They kept her fed up either by working or
busy at school.
So that's good advice for parents. Yeah. Keep your kids busy and keep them out of trouble.
That's right. And we would go there every day. We would do this thing that otilado. How do you say?
Like a loom? Where you,
the loom.
Yeah, loom.
Yeah.
I do speak a little Italian.
Rugs, sheets, pillowcases, everything.
Wow.
It's a hard working family.
That's what we went to school for.
That's called the School of Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
So, Elliot, when you were 10, as far as playing, I mean, did you have, like, buddies, or were you very in touch with...
Oh, I had a lot of buddies. We improvised. We had no bicycles. We had no toys. All we did was play our usual games that we made ourselves. After the air raids, we used to pick up what the planes used to drop, which some of the stuff were explosive. And we used to make playthings out of them.
You made playthings out of explosives? Yeah. Did we just hear that?
Yeah.
Oh, he did.
Were they like...
What did I just mean? Me and my
friends. So like remnants of explosives? Right. Or like not live?
You know the flares?
Okay.
Yeah. We used to take the flares that were not exploded. And we used to take them, put them in cans, and then we used to light them.
Oh.
And we used to make bombs out of them.
All right. Well, you know, it passed the time. So at what point did your family decide to immigrate to the United States?
Well, my dad came to this country probably in the 1930s. And he had cousins here. And they told him that he should come to this country. And he was studying to be a priest when he was a young man. I have this picture at home, but he took their advice and came to this country. And once he came here, he landed in New Jersey. And in New Jersey, I suppose he wanted to do something for his family, to help us out, sending us money or whatever. And he joined the American Army, and they sent him to France, and he fought in France for 2-3 years. He was wounded by mustard gas, and he was in and out of hospitals, and he used to work besides. But after a few years, he came back to Italy, and that's when he married my mother. And he was 32, and she was 18.
Wow.
When they got married.
Pretty
that's
big age difference.
Family
yeah.
marriage. Family
so it
marriage.
Was kind of predetermined then? It wasn't necessarily like they met? And...
No, they didn't meet. I mean...
Oh.
No circles that we lived in. It's also in hers, in the Italian way.
Mm-hmm.
Was very strict on who you married.
So I guess that translates to your family was always in your business.
Yeah.
Kind of like still modern Italian families, yes. Just right. To a different level.
Exactly. And he did the paperwork. My brother joined the American Navy for World War II. Because he came with my dad when he was 14.
So then at 10 years old, you followed your family and you arrived in the United States.
My brother and a friend of his came to New York in a car and picked us up off the ship. We didn't have to go through Ellis Island because I was born a citizen. My sister also. The only one that wasn't a citizen would have been my mother. She had a half a citizenship, as he said, in those days, a half.
Was that because she was female or because she was born in Italy?
Of a citizen.
They didn't do it.
My dad got a citizenship when he mustered out of the army.
So your father was discharged due to injury, and therefore they granted his children citizenship automatically, even though you were born and raised in a small town in South Italy.
Beautifully, yes.
Okay. But then because his wife, she was allowed entry, but she wasn't given full citizenship. Just through his marriage, her marriage to him.
She had to wait so many years.
Did she naturalize?
Oh, yeah, she is now. I mean, she was.
Well, this is fascinating because this is about my Grandma B, and she's very famous in my family, so I'm sorry if I'm taking this on a full tangent, but this is information that is kind of nostalgic to my family, too. So.
But once we got here, they put me into school. Pierce Grade School in Northeast. Got here in June. In September, I started school. My sister in Jordan. First, they put her in the same school as I was, but she was 15. And she didn't want to go to school because she was embarrassed. Because she was older, much older than the other kids.
So she was 15 and you were 10, and you guys were in the same school or the same grade?
The same grade, actually, for the first year.
But not the same. But
so...
No, they took her out.
Because you didn't speak English.
I didn't speak English, my sister didn't speak English.
So now that would translate to like the English as a second language programs. But before that was an option, which this was many years ago.
Yeah.
They just put them in the small grades, the younger grades.
So a 15-year-old would be in a lower grade then.
Right.
Yeah.
But what they did was they took her out of the Pierce and sent her to Jordan, which is a high school. Or I think it's a high school. And then from there, my brother, of course, is your grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
Good-looking man.
So I've heard.
I dreamed him the other night.
Oh, you'll have to tell me about that off camera.
He saw your grandma. And they just clicked, just like that, just by sight. And because of that, they got engaged. We moved from Northeast to North Minneapolis on 7th and Lindale. And there is another guy in the act, which was your Uncle Tony Phillips.
Okay, my grandma's twin brother.
He had just gotten out of the Navy. When we went to visit one night, he was ironing his jersey because he had just gotten a job at Honeywell, I think. And then my sister and him, right away, bing.
Done.
They got engaged. In fact, they got, I think,
I heard Grandma and Grandpa were their chaperones. They obviously did not do a good job.
Yeah, we both had I had chaperones with her too.
Oh, how'd that work out for you?
Good. Good. There's nothing you can do about it.
So back in those days, folks you dated with chaperones. That's a different thing than now. That is
that
true.
Is different is from now.
How would you do that?
Like a chaperone sitting in the back seat watching.
I mean,
like
I've got an overprotective dad, but I wouldn't call him a chaperone.
So what would you do on Tinder?
Do
like
about?
Swipe, swipe. Chaperone? Is that okay?
The parent would be swiping for you.
That's crazy. Oh, interesting.
And what do you call him if you don't call them chaperones?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. We just call them overprotective. That's the term now.
Now it's helicopter parents.
Yes.
So tell us what that's like. A journey from the south of Italy all the way through to New York is
north
where you docked?
Yes.
What was that like?
I was sick.
No.
13 days and 13 nights. I will not go on any...
No cruise lines for you?
No.
No cruise lines for you?
No cruise for me. Never.
Have you ever been back to Italy since?
Many times.
Okay. So you do travel back?
Many times.
Do you miss it?
Yeah, I do, but this is my home now, United States.
How long have you lived here?
Since 1956.
So your home is here.
This is my home.
So what kind of accommodations were available on a transatlantic journey of that time?
Coming from Italy?
Yeah.
I was sick. I didn't see anything in the
So you were bedridden.
Excuse me, can I interrupt?
Go right ahead.
No accommodation. Che vuol dire? Dove dormisti? Come c'era? Ti stanze soli o c'era una baracca?
It was not a bed, bedroom like now.
It was like bunks. Okay.
Up and down.
With lots of people.
Lots of people.
So not just your family. Like you were in a big open space.
No, right. It was one room. With another girl, my mother and I. That's all.
Oh, you had it nice.
Yeah.
So that's at least your girl.
We had
it. How was your journey?
Yeah.
Worse?
We got put in a ship, which was a makeover of a troop ship, American troop ship. They made it into a passenger ship.
Okay.
We had a swimming pool, but there was no compartments or anything for people to sleep, separately. We had barracks, not barracks, but... what do you call them?
Like the
hammocks?
Bunkers, things.
I always slept in a hammock.
So you're like shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, and there was a lot of people down there.
How about the bathrooms? Like, was it normal bathrooms?
Yeah.
Bathroom. Kitchen,
inside.
Like normal dining?
It was like trowels with running water.
Do you remember how much it cost? How much transit would cost at that time?
No.
No, I'm just curious.
Yeah, that's something we
I want to say, for us, my mother and I, probably $1,000.
So at that time, though, that was...
But your brother
was a lot of money.
Your brother came separately.
No, he came alone.
And it took you how long to get from there to
New York? From Naples to New York, 13 days, 13 nights.
Okay. Ours was a little bit slower. It took us 14 days.
Wow. So about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, that ocean was that water.
I never got sick once.
Ocean.
So I think what we're used to is either the Titanic movie idea or like Carnival Cruise. So I can't even.
There's no in between there.
I can't even fathom what who would endure a journey like that to come to the United States.
If you go on a computer and say troop ship, and you can see what a troop ship looks like.
Sure.
Just convert it.
Kind of look at it from that style. Yeah. Crazy. Okay, so you arrived first in New York. And did you know you were coming to Minneapolis, or did you travel to get here first?
But I didn't know how to speak English at all. So I just ate what they gave me. Of course, Auntie Mary Critelli.
Oh, she was a good cook. You were in good hands.
She was a good cook, and she also used to own the Monte Carlo Bar and Cafe.
Oh, I didn't know that. More family history on being revealed today. She's my great auntie.
She had a little money.
I
heard she married well, not once, but three times.
Oh,
yes,
man.
Yes, yes.
You know, everyone has their journey. We'll get to that.
Yes.
She made booze, too.
Yeah. She was a bootlegger? Auntie Mary was a bootlegger? Holy buckets. This is news. I have no idea.
In those days.
I wonder if my grandma knows that story.
Yes,
she does. It must have never been spoken of in my home.
But everybody made up in those days. Everybody.
Well, I myself enjoy alcohol, so I can see where that comes from in my family line. Yeah, but I mean, if someone told me I couldn't have it, I'd probably make it myself too. That's fine.
Well, we used to make it in Italy. A liqueur.
Yeah.
A liqueur.
We do limoncello even to this day.
Limoncello and the wine.
But we have the grain alcohol already set. We just infuse it. There's just a flavor aspect that we use.
And now here in America, you couldn't buy the alcohol, the
that
pure.
You were used to.
So they sell it in Wisconsin.
So Everclear.
You go to Wisconsin, you buy it.
I've been known to take a trip out that way. So you came here and you knew people from your same area. Because weren't the Filippi family, they were from Tiriolo?
Yes.
So that's a town just next to where Auntie Emily's town was.
Okay. Yeah.
So Settignano and Tiriolo are kind of like Brooklyn Park and Brooklyn Center.
Yeah.
But smaller. And on a mountain. And really, really beautiful.
Yeah, not Brooklyn Center.
No.
She knows.
Yeah, I've been through there. So you came here and you journeyed and you found people that you knew. And the key to your immigrant success is that they helped you, even though you came from a little more of an affluent family versus your husband.
Yes.
So at that point, learning English maybe was your primary goal.
To school.
Okay, so is that how you learned English, both of you?
The North High School.
So once you were armed with the language, then what did you do with yourself?
Well, I went to apply for a job. I went to apply at the drugstore, Merwin's, because I was a block away. I didn't need a car.
And wasn't there a familiar connection, like our family knew their family, or was that how our family knew their family?
Merwin's?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So that's how our family got to know the Merwin's people. Okay. Yeah.
So
another prominent Rose Robin Still family. So
I worked there to help the girls because I didn't know how to speak English. So I cleaned tables for them. I made malts. I made whatever, banana splits. I worked at the fountain.
Okay.
Yeah, I had people ask me how did you meet her. She says, oh, she was a soda jerk at Merwin's. I shouldn't have said that.
He called you a jerk.
Well, that's what you used to call
That's your job title.
Yeah.
Soda jerk.
Soda jerk.
Yeah.
Well then, it's funny.
Well, I wouldn't like to use that word.
No.
But you are welcome to use it.
No, I'm just like to
okay.
Pull it up.
So
don't make it so boring.
You've always had this work ethic.
Always.
So you come from a village where work is part of your culture, and you come to this amazingly large country. You learn the language, and the first thing you do is get a job.
Then I know.
And the job led to the husband.
And then I know how to sew. So I used to make 85 dozen of mittens a day. There was piecework.
You know, Minnesota's a very good market for mitten making, especially in November.
Mittens with a leather palm.
Beautiful.
And nylon backing.
Oh my goodness.
Was it Zelman
and I did one operation.
So with a machine or by hand?
How would you do it? Power machine.
Nice.
Power machine. I knew how to sew. So this was handy for me.
And Tia Rosalie worked.
Handy, no pun intended.
Did my mother work?
It was handy. Yeah. I'm a sewing machine.
The soda jerk?
Yes.
So I
handy.
Used to work every day there.
Yeah.
40 hours a week. And then maybe 5 days at the drugstore, nights.
Saturday. This is why
you're so busy.
This
sure.
is why she's still not retired.
Yep.
Like, this is so funny. So you, at what point did you decide cooking would be your desired journey?
Because I always cooked. My mother taught me how to cook. And so I just enjoy cooking.
So at what point did you change from working for others to deciding to enjoy your own business?
That was my American dream.
There you go. So you opened up a restaurant when? Tell us a little bit about the beginning.
1982 August. That's almost 35.
I was going to say it's coming
six,
up on August again.
36, yes. Close to 40.
So how does a person run a restaurant for that many years and still do it successfully? Like, what's your secret to that success?
Well, number one, you got to take care of your customers. That's the most important thing in the world. They're the ones keeping your doors open.
You build your own clientele. You
Second,
do build your own clientele. And these people come back, come back, come back, which, you know, the grandma, the mother, the children, the grandchildren, they've been coming, the same families they used to.
Great tip.
And we've gotten to, you know, love these people. And they would have been at no trouble. I mean, we've had normal
ups and downs, like every business.
Yeah. Bills and stuff like that. But, you know.
But bills are paid. You guys get to have your own hours.
Yep. Thank God.
And you're still here enjoying what you do and who you do it for.
What is, the American dream. Make a living.
The American
make
dream.
A living.
My dad. Excuse me.
I like that. The American dream.
My dad. Wrote us a letter. He said in that letter, when you come to the United States, he said, called America, at the time he said America, this country is loaded with gold on the streets of gold, he said. Which he didn't mean here,
literally.
Come here and shovel gold.
Right, it was more
said,
of a figurative.
The opportunity was here. You do what you want to do.
What did he want you to call him?
Mr. Senor.
No, you say sir.
Well, same thing. Sir. He preferred
respect.
How
much respect to people.
He knew seven languages.
Your dad knew seven languages?
Seven
wow.
Languages.
He was... So if you translated that to like someone at this time, he would be a genius. Like
yeah.
He would be...
Yes, if it wouldn't have been for the war...
With the mustard gas.
That affects the nervous system and that. Who knows what he could have become here before we got here. But he didn't. We lost everything in Italy. What we had, what he had built up over there. And over here, it wasn't bad. Coming here, we had a place to stay. You know, I went to school, she went to school. I graduated North High.
So what other types of jobs did you have besides here?
Me?
Yeah.
I worked, we had a hotel in Duluth.
Okay.
Which I bought.
Is that where my grandparents honeymooned?
No, but
okay.
That's where, one of the children was born there, right?
Junior.
My uncle? No, your uncle.
No,
your
no,
son.
Junior.
Okay.
My junior.
Okay,
junior.
Sorry. A lot of Italian families have juniors, to clarify.
No. He came to me and he says, I want to buy a hotel. We went up to Duluth, we saw this hotel, we'd like to buy it. And we had just gotten married.
He's talking the grandpa, your grandpa.
Yeah.
Okay.
We had gotten married in May. And she was working, I was working in a grocery store at the time, Saul's, remember? The first job I had. And he says, you go up there and run it. And I said, I don't know anything about hotels. He says, you will. He says, I'll make you
I'm a job learning.
You will.
I'll make you up
for it. Figure it out.
And we did work hard for 2.5 years. We went through the a bad steel strike, stores up there closing, the whole works went through shebang. But we survived again. We survived, we came back, we sold the place, we came back to Minneapolis. And of course, your grandpa had a bunch of other little buildings at the time. And he survived with 9 children.
Yeah, he had a lot of kids.
And your grandma used to get on her hands and knees and scrub steps. She went through a lot too. But they survived with 9 children. Look at the beautiful 9 children.
I know. And what's funny is my grandma and grandpa were very much in love.
Yeah. Exactly.
So that's why they had so many children. More stories than our listeners need to note. But the other thing I was going to ask is, what I'm hearing is, in order to provide for families, I'm hearing a lot of restaurants and a lot of real estate. So why do you feel like your talents were useful in those industries?
Well, there was one before the restaurant, which I worked for the Star and Tribune for 20 years.
Was it production or what type of job?
It was in the newspaper area, which was the dealer department, which took care of all the boxes, stores, drug stores, etc., all over. And I was a dealer manager for that. And then I did get promoted to supervisor. And that's when then she said, I want a restaurant. She had been a cook for Dayton's and a waitress. She had been a chef for Donaldson's. In fact, when she quit, her niece took over. She taught her niece.
Enter, is that?
And she's got the Skyway restaurant. Okay. And then of course I said, okay, you want a restaurant? You want to work for yourself? Okay.
So now's a good time to talk about the restaurant. Emily's F&M Cafe has obviously been here. We've discussed since the early 80s. We just had a great lunch here.
Yeah, it was delicious.
We came a little towards the end of the day, but the food was amazing. Family-owned and operated. I mean, it's very common to find Auntie Emily in the kitchen taking care of things, her family, her husband, Uncle Elliot's here quite a bit. As you can tell, they love their customers. It's not just like a lukewarm, hi, here's your food.
No.
It's like when Auntie Emily walks her crowded room, they light up. The kids jump to embrace her.
Exactly.
She maybe gives mine a little too much candy, but you know, my daughter always wants her pancake, so something's right. I think the sweetest thing about this restaurant is the multi-generational evolution you guys have enjoyed, knowing their kids, their grandkids, and you know, being part of their special occasions and their family lives. You know, they're located on Facebook. You can check them out online. It's very much American fare with some Italian specialties. Today I had a great chicken salad sandwich and an amazing cup of wild rice chicken soup.
Yeah, so delicious.
If you could see me now, I feel like nap time is imminent, but of course I can't do that. So, but you know, just from being one of your customers since I was a child, I mean, thank you for doing such a great thing to make this community appreciate you and embrace you, and also, you know, living up by example. I mean, think of all the ways you donate and support your local North Minneapolis community, how many ways you you know, nurture and develop employees and hiring, and you know, it's a great place to work, it's a better place to eat, and we just, you know, wish you all the best and continued success, and hopefully at some point in life you'll get to retire.
I want to sell it now.
Now. You hear that? Anybody looking for a great little spot?
Come on through.
Let's see if Auntie Emily, if you can pass her test.
I'm too old to keep on going.
Well, it's amazing. You walk in the doors and you're right there in the kitchen just working till the day's over. So, just, I commend you for your
Now
work.
Do you understand why?
I know a lot of people keep saying, how come you're not open evenings? We did open for 9 years. There again. So
it would have been a long, long day.
For 9 years, it takes us toll. And so we decided to go breakfast and lunch. And but it would be a great spot for two people.
A young couple, a husband and wife.
Like me and her were.
Yeah.
To take over a place like this, of course, it takes money. We gave it all we had. to get the place.
I think more than that, it takes commitment. Because working with your spouse is another journey. They say that as someone who works with their spouse. Hint, hint.
But you know.
It's like every day is date day, no?
It takes what
sometimes
it takes.
It's scrubbing toilets. Sometimes it's washing windows.
Oh, yeah.
There's always good romantic food.
We've done that plenty of times.
So I think, is there anything else about your journey that you want to share with our listeners? Anything that's inspirational or more advice that you would give to your younger selves? Or
well, like, you know, you take my family and her family, put them together. They're all beautiful people.
He does have a good-looking family, I'm not going to lie.
I mean, no,
we saw
no,
the photos.
I don't mean beautiful by picturesque. I mean beautiful people in here. And they all follow somewhat in a family sort of a way, footsteps of restaurants.
Why is that?
Restaurant. Tina got a restaurant.
And you kept the torch.
Yeah. Her niece got a restaurant. Her son got a restaurant. The torch is going around.
You made it look easy. You lied.
And you said it right.
And you know it's not easy.
No, but it is rewarding, and it's a beautiful gift.
It is rewarding.
Yes.
And what I cannot forget this one time, it was Thanksgiving time, and this gentleman walked in, and they sit down, two people. And I says, "Hi, how are you today? Happy Thanksgiving." Oh, he says, "It is happy, happy," he said, "because I'm with my brother. But I haven't seen him for 10 years. Oh, I said, "I'm sorry, I bet you're happy now." He goes, "Yes, I am." So I go to the register, take $25, and give it to him to go buy himself a turkey and have a nice dinner. I thought they loved it.
Wise words from a butcher's daughter. You gotta have the meat.
You gotta have food.
It's the family dinner if you have good food.
Nobody starves at Emily's.
That's right.
I feed all my employees free.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
If I worked here, I would be 300 pounds because I would eat your pancakes from the time I clocked in to the time I clocked out.
Your food is great.
Fine, but they are not your pancakes.
Free pancakes. Free for all.
Very good.
Good. Good.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not a good cook. I just know how to pick them.
Anything you want to say about why it's important for you guys to continue this restaurant, like you said, through your family and what your inspiration was?
I would love to continue until I was 100. But
I believe that. I believe that. I can see it.
No,
I can't do it. I'm getting close.
No.
We gotta sell it. We have to. The kids are not interested in taking it, so I gotta sell.
Speaking of kids, in the line of this hardworking couple that we're sitting with, they also raised 3 children, and they have 3 grandsons as well. So wow. They are blessed all around.
And they're all blessed. They're all.
You guys are a beautiful couple. So
thank you.
We're just so happy to hear your story.
The best of the best grandchildren.
And I got the best sister-in-law.
Of course, he's talking about my grandma.
Grandmother.
Grandma Anna, who was born here, but her parents came from Italy, and
she's
so did her
more
husband,
Italian
so.
Than we are.
Yeah, kind of.
I've seen her since I was little. I've got pictures of her and my grandma. I've known her since I was little. There's pictures of her holding me when I'm a baby. So
grandma loves babies. Just watch out. If she rubs you, you too will have babies.
Oh no.
That's the joke.
You know what? People used to be afraid to go close to her.
Yes.
She's
fertile.
To rub them. And that means if she rubbed
grandma's
them,
got the touch.
Got pregnant.
Every single one of us got
it
a kid.
It didn't work on Rosie.
If not a few.
It didn't work on
Rosie.
Oh
my goodness.
Well, I'm sure there's another reason for them to be unhappy with one another at times.
Well, thanks for sitting down with us, guys. We appreciate you being on the show. And your story is beautiful.
In fact,
continue what you're doing.
Now and see, I don't have to do a thing at home.
Your day is done.
Right up your alley.
We also appreciate you letting us record this interview at Emily's F&M Cafe, located in North Minneapolis.
2124 44th Avenue North.
Right in what we like to call around here as Nomi, North Minneapolis.
Yes.
Very adorable little pocket. Come out here and
try
it for yourself.
I love my corner here. I just love it.
after 30 some years, it is your corner. So you can you can own it.
You can claim that.
Join us next time for more stories of the American Dream with Tina and Taylor.